Good evening and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide in case you're listening to us somewhere out of the listenership. So if you're listening there, welcome. We've got one of Chicago's finest, Wayne Baker Brooks, joining us in just a few minutes. He's got some great releases out there, and we're going to feature stuff from throughout his career and talk to him about a brand new single he's got and where he's going with it. He'll be performing locally. If you're in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland, he'll be at the Theater at the Center in Munster. It's a beautiful venue, about 300 seats. The acoustics are wonderful. He'll be there on August 17th at 7:30 p.m. But right now, let's let the music do the talking and take you back to 2012 with Sugar Blue, sitting in with Wayne Baker Brooks, and I Can Read Your Mind.
I can tell in your eyes that you told all kind of lies, and I can see all the signs, and I can read between the lines. Well, I'm staring right at you, and I see everything you're trying to do. I can read your mind. I can read your mind. So now the truth cannot be told. I think it's time for you to go. About time for you say goodbye, and I'm telling you exactly why. You ain't never gonna change. You will always be the same. I can read your mind. I can read your mind. Now who in the hell you think I am? You feel like you can lie to me again, like I'm your fool who just can't see just who you pretend to be. So now the truth cannot be told. I think it's time for you to go. About time for you to say goodbye. Exactly why. You ain't never gonna change. You will always be the same.
I can read your mind. Yes, I can. I'm like the great Karnak, and I'm reading it right now, and you're saying, who did that great song, Tom? And I'll tell you, it's my guest, Wayne Baker Brooks, sitting in with him, Sugar Blue, and that goes back to 2012. Now, that was 6 years ago, and you got some new stuff. Wayne, let's start with some history. I first met you when I was booking a venue in Highland called Players and Bugsy's. Yeah. You were there with your dad, Lonnie Brooks, and your brother, Ronnie Baker Brooks. You guys were both kind of sitting in with your dad from time to time, helping him tear down, set up, bring gear in. And both of you ventured down the path and have your own careers. And, you know, it seems I was looking into today's show and I thought, oh, my God, Wayne's been on his own over 20 years.
Yeah, man.
Seems like it was just yesterday we were doing those shows in Highland. And you celebrated your 20th anniversary recently.
Yeah, yeah. 1997 is when I started performing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that was out of necessity because, you know, I was a guitar tech for my dad and
right.
stage manager. You know, I did everything for my dad as far as, you know, road manager, drive. You know, I would even wash their clothes and, you know, make sure that, you know, he's, you know, well kept.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it led to me, you know, wanting to play drums, you know. So I was learning as I was, you know, teching for him. I was learning from his drummer. And then one night it clicked, man. My dad was hitting this guitar lick that was just so resonating to me that I was like, I want to play that note.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play that.
Now, you played bass too, didn't you?
I mess around with the bass, but I don't play
okay,
bass.
Okay, I thought I saw only you use play it for bass one time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only use it for songwriting. But then he started getting me up on like one song. You know, he first got me up at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. I was like maybe 19, 20 years old.
Mm.
And by then, I was pretty much learning his set. By then, in 1 year, I learned how to play. So by the end of that year, I knew his set. But I was too afraid to go up on stage and play. And, you know, I was just, everybody be like, man, we'll just put on the wireless and stay in the dressing room and play. We want to hear you. You can play, you know.
Right.
And I was like, nope, 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 nope. And then one night he was like, all right. He asked the crowd. He didn't ask me. He asked the crowd. He said, y'all want, I got another son. Y'all want to hear Wayne? And everybody was like, yeah. And I was like, no.
So where were you when that happened? Were you out in the club with him at that point?
Fitzgerald's.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And he asked the crowd again. I know. Come on, y'all. And they was like, yeah. So I didn't want to chicken out. And so I went to the dressing room to grab the guitar, but I saw a couple of bottles of Miller Gin.
Which endorsed your dad. I remember his jacket
right.
All the time.
Yep.
Miller Genuine.
And I drank two of them, man, within 1 minute, man. And I went out there. I was brave then.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing. You know, he started it off. He started singing Sweet Home Chicago. And it was the last song of the set. And then he was like, all right, Wayne, your turn. And then I went to the solo.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the solo. And, man, I tell you, the people got up out of their seats and rushed to the stage and was reaching at me while I was playing, man. And I could not believe it. And my dad told me at the end of the night, he was like, man, boy, you got charisma. You are a secret weapon, man. I'm going to have to pull you out every time. And that rush got to me, man. Man, it got to me, and I'm still trying to find that rush, man. It was, at that moment, I knew what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life.
That was a real baptism of fire.
Absolutely. I knew right then and there that this is what I was going to do till I die.
You probably would have evolved into your own career, but that moment when your dad kind of pushed you out of the nest.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have taken you a lot longer if he hadn't done that?
Probably, because, at one point, I almost got settled in just being a music industry guy, you know, doing just, you know. But then there was a spirit in me that was like, nah, man, you know, remember those times when you used to help dad write songs and, you know, you on the drums and Ronnie on the bass? You know, I started thinking about that and then I started writing songs. And then that's when the creative part was like, you know, you come here.
Out right.
You on this side. And then the business side is like, but the career side was like, no, you need to be over here. And a lot of my dad's friends would say the same thing, man. When my dad would be at the hotel during sound check, we would make sure everything was, you know, straight for him. And whoever was opening up or we were playing with would come out while we're doing the sound check and was like, man, you don't need to be teching, man. Why don't you play in my band? And, of course, I was like, yeah, you know. But I didn't want to leave my dad.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, here's Luther Allison asking me to be in his band. You know, here's Kenny Neal asking me to tour with him on this tour because I don't need to be guitar tech and I need to be playing.
Right.
So that's when it changed and went to – me wanting to front my own band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started singing a lot more. So I started asking my dad, hey, can I sing one tonight? And he'd be like, yeah. And then I would sing one. And then it led to two. Then it led to three. And then at that point, my dad's career was growing. And so he would demand a lot more money, you know, to play. So sometimes that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it's not a good thing for the sideman because he can work 50 gigs a year and he's good.
Right.
But then
if you're working 50 gigs, that ain't
I'm
making the bacon.
Yeah.
Well, you guys went out as the Brooks family dynasty, too. It mm-hmm. was the three of you. And I thought, what a magnificent tour package that
yeah.
was. And
yeah.
I know that was costly because yeah. I had a pipe dream at one point of trying to book that. And I looked at the price tag. Okay, I don't know if I can do that. But I just thought, you know, as a blues fan and having worked with all three of you in different incarnations, that what a great show that would have been.
Yeah, times three.
Right.
Yeah, man. And the main thing for me and Ronnie was that, you know, we're here for Dad. You know, at that point, we were doing the Brooks family. He had pulled away from his booking agent and his management and the record company. And he put the business in Ronnie in my hands. He was like, Wayne, I want you to book. And Ronnie, you manage, you know, as much musical direct as much as mm-hmm. you can. So I did, you know, all the above. But when he told me that, I was like, uh-oh, you know, this is no game anymore. This is the real deal.
Right.
And the with him, from his perspective, he was looking at, okay, I got my boys working for me. Now I don't have to go back to the booking agent and say no five times. I don't have to go to the booking agent and say, we can't do this unless he has business class because, you know, he had a bum leg.
Mm-hmm.
His veins would pop.
So he needed to stretch his
leg. He needed to stretch his leg. He couldn't do coach. But the booking agent and the management, they oh, no, come on, Lonnie, let's do this. And they really didn't, you know, hear him.
Mm-hmm.
So with us, it was more of this, you know, not hardballing, but just looking out for what he needed and what he
right.
wanted.
Well,
and
you knew what he needed.
Yeah.
You know,
and he loved
and
that.
What he would do and not do and where the prices needed to be.
Right.
And what kind of hotels, what
yeah.
kind of, you know, you knew,
yeah.
your family,
yeah.
you know
so,
that.
So we would only tell them once, and that's it. There's no coming back. There's no going to him and saying, hey, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
It was either this or that. And he loved that. That's what he loved about it. Because it, the business part was taking the spirit out of him,
right?
You know, it really was. It and I could see it at, you know, a couple of times he was like, "I'm retiring," and I'm like, "Man, don't musicians don't retire?"
Right.
You know, especially when they love what they're doing. But it was a part of him that was not loving it anymore. He was loving just being home with the family. You know. More than being out on the road
mm-hmm.
because of the business part, because he felt constrained, you know, with, you know, him performing and not having the best tools for him to put on a good show. So he felt, okay, with my boys, you know,
the family's on the road with him.
The family's on the road with him.
Yep.
He's getting what he need, and all he had to do is plug in and play, and that's all he wanted to do anyway,
right.
was just to play. He didn't have any other things to worry about. And quite a few times he said, this is the best tour I've ever been on. It's the best tour.
How long ago was that?
This was between 2009 and 2014.
Okay. Now, we lost him about a year ago?
Yeah, 2017.
April. How long before he passed did he stop playing?
2014.
Okay.
Yep. He completely stopped in 2014.
Now, what was his best sage advice to you as a young player? What was the best piece of advice?
Give everything you got, man.
Okay.
Give everything you got, you know, to please the people. That's what it's all about. It's pleasing the people. And don't sugarcoat, you know, don't play around with it. You know, get to it, make them happy, you know. And just keep being you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing that he would, you know, push to me and Ronnie is to be you. Don't try to do the things other people are doing. You know, don't, you know, do what's in your heart and do what you feel is for you.
Well, that's one of the things that I noticed right away about you guys. Neither you nor Ronnie tried to be your dad. He had his own style. Ronnie came along and had his own style.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, when you came out, I almost expected a similar thing to what Ronnie was doing. Yeah. You're completely different than Ronnie.
Yeah.
And your albums, you're completely different than yourself.
Yeah.
You are constantly evolving. We're going to get to the new single in just a few minutes. But one of the songs we talked about before the show that I'm just nuts about is Changeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this song is, it's blues, but it's not blues. It's rock. It's got some jazziness to it. What's the story on Changeling?
Well, Changeling came about, this was the first time that I actually opened myself up to other writers.
Okay.
Because I've always written my own songs, and that's because of Dad. Dad would always push that, you know.
Because of the publishing. That's where the money is,
well,
too.
Well, not only that.
No. Okay.
But for your uniqueness, so you could stand out. So you won't be a cover band.
Okay.
So you can be an original artist. You know, that was the main thing that he was pushing. You know, be yourself. Be original. Don't do everything everybody else is doing. You could do some of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but don't let it be the whole package of you. So at this point, I was open. I was like, you know what, man? You know, Mystery did very well. Publishing-wise as well,
mm-hmm.
like you said. Sale-wise, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a sound scan thing. It was more of side as a stage thing, you know, selling, you know, 300-400 CDs, you know, a night at some festivals, you know, here and there, you know, just like flying off the shelf almost.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got to remember, this is really before the whole internet thing took off with music. I mean,
yeah,
it was around, but it was new,
and mm-hmm. it was scaring a lot of people, but we still had our true CD fans that wanted a CD after you get done playing, mm-hmm. and we want you to sign it.
Right.
They didn't care what the price was. And I love that, you know. So, but at the same time, I was thinking, man, you know what? I might be closing myself to a hit song. And I thought, I was like, all right, who's hot right now? And looked at Buddy. Buddy was steaming hot.
Yeah.
You know, and looked at, you know, Tom. I knew Tom. And then he started working with Buddy. And then started seeing all these, like, Grammys, you know, winning with Tom. So I reached out to him. I said, hey, man, I'm working on some new material along with Changeling and Something's Going Down and I Could Read Your Mind and Tricks Up My Sleeve, that whole batch of songs. So went to him. I said, hey, man, I'm opening up for the first time in my career to someone writing a song. You got a song for me that you could write? And he was like, I got I got about four of them. So he sent me four. And I listened to all four of them. This one stood out, Changeling. And a couple of more that's coming on the new album.
Okay.
And so I was like, you know, I was listening to Changeling and the words. And, you know, in order for me to, like, do a song, I had to feel it. I had to be in the song and feel it.
Right.
So when he came out with, you know, one day you want me, the next day you're leaving, I was like, I know somebody like that.
You can relate to that.
Right, yeah. You're telling the truth and then you're deceiving. And then I was like, I know somebody just like that too. So I related to the song and it was easy for me to sing it. You know, I didn't even use the lyric sheet mm-hmm. that he gave me. You know, when I got the song, it was so familiar to me that it was like, bam, 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 bam. You know, we just went in and knocked it out.
So he did the lyrics, you did the music?
No, he did them both.
He did them both.
He did them both. And he caught me at a good time because I was looking for something, you know, a song. For the first time in my career, I was looking for someone else to write a song for me. And I guess he knew exactly what I was feeling through the music that I was, you know, writing already.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying the show, join Wayne Baker Brooks on August 17th at Theater at the Center in Munster on Ridge Road. 7:30 p.m. performance, one night only. Now let's play that song we've been talking about. This is Changeling. Wayne Baker Brooks. We'll be back with Wayne on the other side. Stay with us.
One day you want me, the next day telling the truth, and then you're deceiving. I've been patient long enough. I'll give it one more chance.
Baker Brooks, going back to around 2011, 2012 once again. Wayne Baker Brooks is my guest this evening here on Midwest Beats, and he'll be performing August 17th at Theater at the Center in Munster on Ridge Road. Wayne, that was a rather pivotal time for you. All the stuff you did at that point, you were working with Twista, you were working with Sugar Blue, you were doing Changeling, Outside Songwriters. You were, it looked like you were trying to find the new plateau, the new path to go to.
Well, a lot of people in the blues industry told me that I set a standard with the Mystery album that received 4 stars from, you know, the biggest music critic in the world. And that year, Buddy Guy released his album. He had 5 stars. Magic Slim released his album. He had 5 stars. And these are guys out of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And there I was with 4 stars. So I was like in good company, you know, and I figured, you know, with the industry saying, man, this album, man, is crazy. You know, it still didn't get the due that it deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking to, you know, just what you said, you know, set a new plateau, you know, with another standard. Like, okay, I've done this. Now let me do this. And then, of course, I'm going to do the same thing with, you know, all the music that I come up with.
Right.
I try to make it better. And better and better as much as I possibly can.
Now, the new single, again, we're going to get to it in just a bit. I'm going to hold off a little longer because it is something unique. It again, is a different sound. But we heard Changeling. You also did a thing that it reminds me of the mindset that maybe Miles Davis was in when he did the Doo-Bop album, which was, I think, the last of his career. It was certainly near the end. And he kind of incorporated hip-hop with jazz, reinvented the sound. Mm-hmm. Hip hop was still new at that time, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get my head around it. Yeah. It took me a while just to show how far ahead of the curve he was. And you did something similar to that with Something Going Down. You worked with Chicago rapper Twista.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going through your mind when you did that? Because, again, that was something different. I mean, the blues community is usually pretty purist.
Absolutely.
You know, to bring in a different element, they've got to say, wait a minute, you're from a legacy family. You're part of Chicago blues. Now you're bringing this sound in. What is that all about?
Well, with that was an extension of New Kind of Blues off of Mystery. Mm-hmm. New Kind of Blues was actually one of the most unique sounds that came off of that album. And it was a mixture of blues, hip hop, and house music, which was originated in Chicago as well.
The Warehouse.
Yes, absolutely. And that's where they come with the house and the house music. Was
that Frankie Knuckles and all those
all
guys?
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I used to go to Mendel Catholic, the high school on 111th and King Drive. And they would always have the house music parties there, you know, every Saturday. So so basically Something's Going Down. It was an extension to New Kind of Blues. I noticed all the attention that New Kind of Blues was getting over all the other songs. Mystery, Exile was a critic pick. Both of those songs were critic picks. And New Kind of Blues kind of stood on his own and went elsewhere with it.
You got a different demographic with that.
Absolutely.
Younger people were turning on to it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, even, you know, the ladies that dance, you know, at night were requesting that song all the time.
Wow.
Because they could do their routine.
Do their thing, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I need another different, you know, song like New Kind of Blues. How can I do this? And I came up with the groove to Something's Going Down. And it kind of put me in a Mississippi, Northern Mississippi vibe. You know, that's Mississippi riffing type thing, you know. And I was like, okay, now I need to rock it up a little bit, bring Chicago in it. And came up with that riff. And I was like, watching TV, this was right around the time Obama was like campaigning to be president for the first time.
First time, okay.
And I saw him dripping in sweat with his sleeves rolled up, preaching like Martin Luther King. And I was at that point, I was like, man, something is going down right here. And then it clicked. It's like something's going down. And because of that riff, we needed something like that. So it was like, something's going down in the city. Something's going down in this town. Better get ready for the real nitty gritty. This is how the shy gets down. So it was more, it fit perfect.
Right.
It fit perfect in the studio. And was like, okay, I got the chorus. Now what am I going to say?
Did you ever communicate that to any of the Obamas that he was the inspiration for that?
Actually, a buddy of mine ended up being on his economic team.
Okay. Because he's a pretty accessible guy.
He let him hear it. He let him hear it, man. And I was like, you let him hear it? He was like, yeah, I let him hear it. And he was like, I like it. I like it a lot. You know, and I was like, what? So that was a treat for me. But yes, he did. And I'd never met Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm told that he knows me. And serious, like with the ambassadors, like we played NATO back in 2012 in Belgium. And we played in front of 52 states. Like 52 countries at the ambassador's house at the Truman Belgium. I'm sorry. And I'm so excited talking about this, man. It was really cool. So basically NATO was coming to Chicago And we went out there as a delegation to show them what they're getting when they come to Chicago.
Okay.
And we played, and I ended up going to the actual conference. As soon as I walked in, at NATO, at the headquarters, there was a band playing. And then, you know, they go, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a real blues man in the house. Give it up for," you know, and I thought, I was looking for my dad. I'm like, "Where's dad at?" You know, and he wasn't around. He was like, "Give it up for Wayne Baker Brooks." And I was like, "Oh, okay, that's me." So I went up and played, and I had this same jersey on.
Sox jersey?
It's crazy we're talking about it. I had the same Sox jersey on, and I'm up there playing with the Shape Band, which is like they're high-ranking officers that play music, and they're playing, you know, blues for this conference. And I got up there and played.
What'd you play?
I played
Sweet Home?
No. I played Coming Home. I also played a slow blues, Muddy Waters.
Okay.
And
like a shuffle kind of thing?
Yeah, because they already slow blues, like slow blues. Okay. Long Distance Call.
Okay.
And I was going to play Sweet Home Chicago, but they told me, they was like, "We just played that," you know, so I was like, "Okay, all right." So I played another shuffle or something like that, and we all jammed, and a saxophone player, you know, all military guys. And so we did that, and then we played for the ambassadors at the ambassador's house. So when I got to the ambassador's house, this one guy came up to me, he was like, "Hey, man. That was a great performance today. We took some pictures and we sent it to POTUS." And I shook my head, "Oh, okay, all right. Second person, I'm like, "Who the hell is POTUS, first of all?" you know, I never heard that term before.
Right,
you know, and another guy came up. He was like, "Hey, man, we sent photos to POTUS, man. You know, we sent it to, you know, the president." And I was like, "Okay, all right.
Who's the president?"
Right,
of POTUS?
Right. and then so on and so on. It was like probably like eight people that came up to me and told me, you know, by the fifth person, they were like, "We sent it to Obama, man. He has a picture." And then
the bells went off.
Right, and then I was like, "Obama?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "What did he say?" And then he was like, he looked at the picture and he was like, "Yeah, that's my guy. He got the Sox jersey."
Sox.
Yeah. So by the seventh person, they was like, "You know, POTUS have a picture of you." And I was like, "Yeah, I know.
Is there any video on that on YouTube or anything?
I highly doubt it. It could
be. Because of security?
Because, yeah, it was so high security. This is NATO,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That was an experience for me, man. And, I mean, every news affiliate in Chicago was there. So they may have film of it.
You may wind up in the Obama library.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome.
There's the
man.
Case, and there's Wayne. Wave to Wayne as you go by.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not into politics, but, you know, it was more of, with him, was more of inspiration for our community.
Right.
You know, the
but
level
the
of
fact
inspiration.
That he inspired you to write a song, which we're going to play now. And again, this is a twist is on this. We're going to find out how you got him involved after we play.
Okay,
it.
All right.
Let's do this now. This is Something's Going Down.
I'm about to come off in the middle of the ghetto. It's about to jump off. You ready for a little bit of action? I'm about to get it cracking. And I got somebody with me to let them know what's gonna happen.
Something's going down in the city. Something's going down in this town. Better get ready for the real nitty gritty. This is how the shy gets down. Something's going down in the city.
On that paper chase, I'm trying to stack the change today. First my pocket's hurting, so I here to take the pain away. Like an aspirin, I've been in the Mandarin. I've been in demand again from business I've been handling. It's been a minute since I pushed it to the limit. Since I flew out all my pieces to these beaches like it's Venice. And I be pulling liquors like I'm John Lee. Calmly play a Mac Miller like I'm Kwame. Something's going down in the city. Something's going down in this town.
Showing off Chicago pride, because that's how the shy goes down. That is Wayne Baker Brooks, good stuff, and Twista sitting in on that. And you had some other guests on there, you were saying.
Yeah, GOC.
He's with Kanye.
Kanye West.
Who's playing harmonica?
That's Sugar Blue.
Is it Sugar?
Yeah,
okay.
Sugar Blue. Yep.
I was gonna say, it sounded pretty tasty there.
Yeah,
I didn't
man.
Think he was on that one.
Yep, Sugar Blue.
Wow.
GLC, yeah, GLC won 2 Grammys with Kanye on Spaceship and Drive Slow. And I saw him at Lollapalooza with Kanye, him and Lupe Fiasco. It was backstage. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I knew I couldn't afford Kanye.
Yeah. So you took the next best thing.
So I asked him, and I was like, hey, man, are you in the blues? And he was like, yeah, man, I'm in the blues, man. You know, I listen to Bobby Blue Bland. And I was like, man, you said the magic word, brother.
Yeah.
And we went into the studio, and I was like, you know, thinking Twista as well. I was like, how do I get Twista on there? So went through his management and called him and told him the concept. Told them what the song was about. They was like, let's do it, man. I was like, but hey, man, I know y'all gangster rap and everything, but I'm a blues man.
Right.
And I'm going to be using this for teaching tools for the younger generation.
Right.
So if you could, like, be so kind enough to, you know.
Keep it clean.
You know, and it was like, no problem, man. We do this all the time. And they show respect. They show respect to me. So
right.
I was like.
The
cool.
First time I saw that you were working with Twista, I said, oh, man, I got to screen this before I play it. He's got his reputation.
I know.
If you're enjoying what you're hearing, and I'm sure you are here on Lakeshore Public Radio and the Midwest Beach Show, be sure to catch it live August 17th at 7:30 p.m. at Theater at the Center. So mark that date down, August 17th, 7:30 at Theater at the Center on Ridge Road in Munster. How much of the show will be newer material versus some of the older stuff?
Well, what I do in my show, you know, I have Kenny Kinsey in my band playing mm-hmm. bass, you know, from the Kinsey Report. And he would come
Mojo Daddy.
He would come down to Players and Bugsy's, you know,
right.
and jam with us a lot. So, and then Jerry Porter, who used to play with Buddy, played with Buddy Guy for like 20 years, and Junior Wells and Magic Slim and Eddie Clearwater, my brother, he played with for a long time, and he's been with me for 13 years. Kenny been with me for 13 years. So, and Scott Tipping, you know, who's new, he's mm-hmm. been with me for 13 months. So, what I do within my show is to take people on a musical journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I let them know, musically speaking, where I'm from. So I'll throw in, you know, some Muddy Waters, some Elmore James, some Howlin' Wolf, some Jimmy Reed, and of course my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let them know where I'm at, and where I'm going. So where I'm at is, you know, probably going to be, you know, the mystery album and Tricks Up My Sleeve. So it's basically all originals from after that point.
Right.
And then where I'm going, this is where...
will be the new single.
Yeah, the new single. And
you said there's a new album. Before we get to the new album and new single, you said something we really need to touch base on. I got to share with the listeners. And that is Something Going Down, a song we just heard, was adopted by the Chicago Bears for a while.
Yeah, man. That was a... because I'm a huge Bear fan. I do not care if they win or lose. Mm-hmm. I love the Bears. I've been in the locker room with them, you know.
I made a video with them back in the 80s with Sister Sledge. We're here to stay.
All right, yeah. And they picked it up. They picked it up for 2 months, and that was like a plateau for me, man, in my career as a songwriter, was to watch the Bears –
and hear your song.
And hear my song and have my name, you know, run across with my company. And, you know, that was just a thing for me, you know.
Wow.
I could have died right then. I'd have been okay. And, yeah, so the Bears picked it up. ABC picked it up. NBC picked it up. CSN used it for when the Blackhawks won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They used it for one of their pieces during the parade. While the bus was going down the street, they used it because it's an anthem to Chicago. You know, we have some of the best in this city, man. And you know, from at the time, Oprah, Obama, you know, the food industry, all these famous chefs that comes out of Chicago, the music alone. You know, I can forget, you know, Oprah and Obama and them. The music alone from, you know, Muddy Waters changing the
Jerry
sound.
Butler.
Jerry Butler.
Yeah.
You know.
Curtis Mayfield.
Up
to Kanye. All the way up.
All the way up, man. And, I mean, so to me, I was making an ode to our city.
Mm-hmm.
More so than, you know, Obama. It was like, okay, he was the inspiration for it, but we have.
And when you think about it, citing all those different styles and artists, that song incorporates all of it.
Absolutely.
Musically.
Yep.
I hadn't even thought of that until you said that.
Yep.
Wow. Well, Because of You is the new single, and we're about to play that, but you mentioned a new album coming.
Yeah.
So when is that going to drop?
Man, I'm still working on it as, you know, as this single is being released, man. You know, I'm still working on it. I have like 22 songs.
Recorded.
Some need to be finished. Some are completely finished, mixed and mastered. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this because, you know, I am my own record company, so I don't have the expertise of some marketing geniuses and all that good stuff. So I'm just trying to test the waters, you know, see where I fit in with this new music and the new music industry. It is very new out here.
Right.
And it is very different. It's finally starting to like grow with this new technology. It's starting to grow. So I know you mentioned 2012 quite a few times, but in between from now and 2012, I was like thinking, how in the heck am I going to release music on my own and be noticed?
Right.
So that's what took me so long was, and not only that, you know, my dad getting sick. You know, and then also helping him with his last album, you know, And, you know, so it, you know, a lot of things, elements took my time away from putting this album out. But now I feel like a new man now.
Mm-hmm.
And with this new music.
It's like a rebirth.
Absolutely. Because I went through so much, you know, being a musician, trying to figure it out for the next album since 2012.
Again, that evolution.
And yes. So it turned me into what I'm presenting now.
Wow. So 20-some songs. Do you have a working title for the album yet, do you know? Or is it too premature?
It's too premature. There's a couple of names that I've been bouncing around with, you know, my people.
Who's producing?
Me.
You're self-producing?
Yep.
And you're writing a lot of it?
Yep.
Do you ever feel too close to the music? being the producer, sometimes the writer, the
sometimes
performer?
I do, especially with, you know, songs that don't come, like, because of you, just bam, just came out, you know. A couple of more songs, bam, just came out. But then there's other songs that's like, how can we do this? How can we make this better, you know, than what it is? So we may end up with, like, you know, just 10 songs out of the 22, you know, and leave the rest for, you know, maybe, you know, in the future, like, just
bonus tracks,
yeah, bonus
overseas
tracks,
or things like that.
Or keep it like Prince did, like, you know, put it in the vault and just.
And one day someone else will make money off you.
My kids, mostly. My kids. Hopefully my grandchildren.
All right. Well, let's do it. This is the new single I've been teasing you about. Wayne Baker Brooks is one I'm sure you'll be hearing on August 17th at 7:30 p.m. in Munster at the Performing Arts Center as he brings his band to town for one night only. This is the new single. You're hearing it on Midwest Beat because of you. Because of you. That's why he does it. He's all about the fans. He's Wayne Baker Brooks, and that's the brand new single, Because of You, and it's from the forthcoming album, which is as yet untitled because it's not done yet. Wayne, tell me about that song. How long has it been done and out? You just recently uploaded that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, August 3rd is when it came out. And it is basically about, you know, I'm dedicating it to my fans. The song is about how a good woman, a good loyal woman can elevate a man's confidence in everything that he does. And but his insecurities, you know, with all his insecurities, all of his, you know, negatives, as you want to possibly say, but with her in his life makes him a better man. And with that track, you know, I wrote the lyrics, and my buddy Tony Ruiz, who I use in California for my bass in my band as bass player. And, you know, one day we were driving home from a gig in San Francisco. We played Biscuits and Blues in San Francisco, and then we were driving all the way back to L.A. And when we got done, he was like, WBB, why I got you, man? I got this groove that I've been, like, you know, messing around with for, like, you know, 3 to 5 years, man. And, but I can't, like, you know, make anything out of it. And since you're a lyricist, why don't we, like, you know, do something with it? So I basically did him the way Bruce McCabe does me. Bruce McCabe, okay, Bruce McCabe is from Minneapolis. He wrote the song Lie to Me for Johnny Lang. He wrote, you know, a million songs for, like, you know, people. And he was like, Wayne, he was always, Wayne, I got to write you a hit, you know. And I was like, let's write it together, you know. So he would invite me to his house. And I would sit there, like, on his couch. And he was, he would have his pen and notepad like a psychiatrist. And he would go, all right, what's going on with you, man? Because he know I like, you know, writing about real stuff that's going on with me, you know. And or something that I see or hear or, you know. So he would take a, you know, pen and pad, and he would, you know, like, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. And I would tell him, you know, what's going on. And then all of a sudden, we're making music, and he's using the words that I was telling him into a song. And, you know, I would come up with the music or something like that, or, and he would do the lyrics or vice versa. So,
so you did that with Tony?
I did that with Tony.
Okay.
I was like, what's
Tell
going
me your
on,
deepest,
man?
Darkest secret.
Right, right. I was like, what's going on, man? And then he started talking. Then he started talking. And then I was like, oh, yeah, man, I could relate to that, bro. You know, so it was relatable. So it was easy for me to put it in words, like, really fast.
Wow. New album coming out sometime soon. Target date within a year, maybe?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, yes.
CD,
definitely.
Vinyl, both? Vinyl's
All
big,
three, man.
All right.
All three, man. Digital, CD, and vinyl, man.
August 17th.
Absolutely.
7:30, August 17th. Wayne Baker Brooks and his band will be performing at the Munster Theater at the Center. And again, it's right on Ridge Road there. It is a great venue to see. Let's close out and bring some music up right now. This is It Don't Work Like That. Go to theaterofthecenter.com. Order your tickets. I'll be there for that show. So we'll see you there. Thank you, Wayne, for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
All righty.
Take
it
out. Thank you, Indiana.
Wise men say you got to learn from your mistake, but you keep on doing the wrong thing anyway. Is watching you, but you're sitting around like you ain't got nothing to do. It don't work like that.
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 It don't work like that. You got to find you something that will work like this, baby.
do. From your job, you know you're doing wrong, still living with your mom. It don't work like that.
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 It don't work like that. You got to find you something that will. If your woman think you are a man of her dreams, you can't tell her sister. She's the finest thing you ever seen.
It don't work like that.